Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the PRF table. This is your host, Dr. Nate Dunlap. Also sitting here at the table is Mary Ann Williams. Mama, how are you this evening?
I am doing fine, thank you. And I have to give a shout-out to my PRF family. Just glad to be with you this evening and glad that you chose to be with us. And so just pull up a seat and feel comfortable and join in the conversation. Amen.
Outstanding, outstanding. Well, listen, we have so much going on this weekend that I thought we would do something a little bit different since we're just at the beginning of the month, Mama. You know, normally during this time of the year, one of the things that we really, I hate to say like to do, but we feel that is necessary to do is really to talk about giving and have a couple of conversations that we know are very, very important as we get closer and closer and closer to what we call the holiday season, as we get closer and closer and closer to what we know as Black Friday and also Thanksgiving and Cyber Monday and Take All Your Money Tuesday and Waste All Your Money Wednesday and all the rest of them. So I think we're going to get to that. We're going to get to that next week. We've been dealing with it because we've been talking about insurance, and for those who haven't picked up on it, if you've been listening for the last couple of weeks, you understand that that's just one way of having a conversation about what are some things that we need to do as far as priorities are concerned. We know that because of our former guests over the last couple of weeks, not just here on the PRF table, but also on our 4 p.m. show, that there's a lot of people who are lacking some basic things that we know are really, really needed to help people live life more abundantly and also for wealth creation. So, I mean, that was on the subject of not tithing, but insurance. And so tomorrow we have something real special going on tomorrow, Mama. We have a learning session going on tomorrow. We're going to have 16K is the cohort number. And the lesson that we'll be teaching tomorrow is going to be tithing out of law or out of love. And that is one of the courses, one of the two lessons that we offer in our tithing course. Now, we know that this is a very interesting topic, if you will, to say the least. It's one that we've talked about for extensive period of time here on the PRF table throughout the years. But we're going to have a special session tomorrow because we've done some revisions to that course. It's been a while since I've actually taught it. So we're going to go ahead and jump right into that tomorrow night in Columbus, Georgia. So we're excited about that. We're going to have people from all over attending. We're also going to be having facilitator training on Saturday. That's going to be held in Columbus, Georgia as well. So we have a couple of our facilitators are coming from Massachusetts and Atlanta, and that's where we're just going to happen to meet is in Columbus. So we're just excited about what God is doing with this ministry and with all those who have decided to jump on board and be facilitators. So let me say this. If you know that there is a need for teaching PRF in your community, in your church, all we ask is just that you reach out to us. We have room. A lot of room for many more facilitators teaching the principles that God has given us regarding PRF. So unfortunately, the registration has closed for tomorrow night, so we are not accepting any more people on that one, but we will definitely be updating everybody on how it went come next week. So since that's what we're going to be doing tomorrow and going to be doing the facilitator training on Saturday, I thought that we may give the people, Mama, just a little bit of a teaser, if you will, of this lesson that we're going to be teaching on tithing. I think I put it like this online. We're going to give a tithe of the tithing lesson tonight. So you're only going to get a little piece. You're not going to get all of it. But if you know anything about tithing, you know that that little piece is just as powerful as the big piece. So what I wanted us to do, Mama, was really just to talk about some statistics. I was actually doing some research, and there's an organization called Health Research Funding, .org, and I saw some statistics on tithing that I thought was just kind of interesting. And let's just, you and I and anybody else who wants to join into the conversation, let's just start talking about some of these statistics and what they mean to us, because when you start having a conversation about tithing, we already know going into it that people have their own interpretations about tithing. They have their own thoughts about tithing. They have their reasons why to tithe or why not to tithe. But if we're going to look at some statistics, we may be hitting some of those things that's in people's heads that we're not having these conversations in our churches. It's definitely not a conversation that we have in my church. It's not a conversation that has been in a lot of churches that I've been in, except for when I've been teaching it. So let's talk about some statistics. I found 21 statistics through this organization, Health Research Funding. And here's what it says, and this is an article that I'm reading. What could the church be able to do if every member was able to tithe consistently? Mama, let's just converse about that, and let's just respond to these questions. What do you think, Mama? What could the church be able to do if every member was able to tithe consistently? How do you respond to that?
That we would be able to help our community. You know, we could reach out. You know, if the pastor allowed it to be, and for the reach out in our communities and see and you know see the needs and you know and help the people more, bringing in all the possessions and resources and finances, teaching model also, because this is very important that you know how. To you need to get understanding. It's more than just giving, you know, giving someone a helping him. They also need to be taught how to survive the next day.
Right. No disagreement on that. You know, when I read that question, I mean, there's several things that I see from the question. The question said, "What could a church be able to do?" So it lets me know just from the sentence structure that the focus of the question is what the church is able to do, and that could be twofold. What could the church be able to do inside the church? What could the church be able to do outside? You talked about outside, but I think it's worth noting that there's some things that need to be done on the inside of the church as well. There's some people that need help on the inside of the church as well. Just as we know that there's some people that need help on the outside. But the other part of that question that I see is when it says, if every member was able, that right there kind of struck me. If every member, not if every member just gave 10%.
Mm.
If they were able to tithe. And so when I read that part of the, you know, that part of the question, I think about, it's asking a question as if a bunch of people or every member is not able already to tithe.
Yes.
So if there's people who are unable to tithe, and then not just tithe, because the last word in that sentence is tithe consistently. So if every member of the church is not able to tithe, but not just not able to tithe, but not able to tithe consistently, then those are some things that, as you mentioned, bringing PRF in, those are some of the things that we would aim to get to the root cause of. Because whenever we're doing for God, we want to do it consistently. We don't just want to do it one time and be done with it. That's not how the law of tithing was. It was consistent. Even if it was every year or every 3 years, it still was a consistent time frame of when tithing was supposed to be done according to the law of tithing. So then it goes on. It said that's a question that many churches are asking. And here's what I'm – and think about this. If that's the question that many churches are asking, my question is, who are they asking? It says – it didn't say many pastors. It didn't say many people. It said many churches. So that lets me know it's not just one person asking the question. And here's what it says. That's the question that many churches are asking as they have started running into financial issues over the years. Now, they're asking the question only because they're running into financial issues. And it's because of those financial issues that's been happening over the years. It's a buildup that's occurring. So people are – the churches are saying, look, we have to look at this thing because we've let it go unaddressed for way too long. Or maybe our approach has not been the best approach, right? It doesn't mean it hasn't been addressed. Yeah. It could just not have been the best approach. Or the people could maybe not have been the most educated in this particular area.
Right.
Then it says part of the reason why tithing is down is because it isn't seen as a biblical command as it once was. The perspective has shifted in the evangelical community toward a view that everything is God's, not just the 10% that is offered to in theology. So the thing about these statistics that I'll just start reading some of them, Mama, is one, and I've reached out to the organization to find out more about their sampling, to find out more about where they was getting or where they were able to gather their data from. You know, the part of the country matters, you know, demographics matter, income matters, you know, all those things matter. So before I actually, you know, go full force with actually utilizing some of these statistics, we just need to have more information. So that's my disclaimer. I've tried waiting to see what they respond back to me on, but the article is still out there. So know that what we're speaking about is coming from the article.
Yes.
So let me ask you this, Mama. What percent of Americans do you think give to their local church that do it through tithing regularly, if you had to guess a percentage?
About 40%.
Wow. I need to come up and come to y'all church, Mama. Y'all doing excellent. This first statistic says only – I'll tell you – the first statistic says only 3 to 5% of Americans who give to their local church do so through regular tithing. Wow. Not 35, 3 to 5%. That's kind of that's kind of disheartening.
Yes.
Now think about this. If only 3% of Americans who give to their local church do so through regular tithing, where are the other 95 to 97%? Where are they giving regularly to? Think about it. I mean, I don't know. I don't know the answers, but I mean, I'm just throwing it out there. I wonder where the rest of those people who give. So it's not saying that only 3 to 5% of Americans give to their local church. It's talking about 3 to 5% of those who give to their local church. I don't know the number who give, but these are people who are actively giving to the local church. But only 3 to 5% of whatever that number is says that they are regularly doing so through regular tithing. Whoa.
Well, I believe... Well, this is a guess. This is not a fact, but my opinion is that they're given to media, television.
Well, no, the statistic is the number is based upon people who actually give to their local church.
Okay, but you were talking about the other percent.
You're saying the ones who are giving to their local church.
The ones that are not giving to their local church. Yes.
Okay. The other statistic that we have is in 2000, American evangelicals, I don't know who they are, but American evangelicals collectively made $2.66 trillion in income. $2.66 trillion in income. Now, that was in 2000. I mean, things were you know, things were kind of good back during the 2000s, you know, of course, or for some folks, a lot of folks, but that's a lot of money. So if
yes.
you just took $2.66 trillion, and if you say from a strict perspective of tithing, out of that 2.66, 10% of that should have gone to the church.
Yes.
That's a lot of money going to the church, Mama.
Yes, it is.
That's, I mean, that's just, I mean, there's no, I mean, you're talking about $26 million of tithes. That's bananas. I mean, that's, oh my goodness. I wonder what we can do. I wonder what we can do. The third statistic says total Christian income in the United States, now this is total Christian income, is $5.2 trillion annually, nearly half of the world's total Christian income. So we make a lot of money as Christians in America.
Yes. Wow. Ooh.
That means half of the world. I mean, we make up almost half of what the world's income is as far as total Christian income.
Right.
Here's another one. Over the next 50 years, it's predicted that between $41 trillion and $136 trillion will pass from older generations, older Americans, to younger generations. Let me tell you something. That money may pass, but I wonder how much money will pass from individuals within the church to their generations. Now, I don't know how they got these numbers, and I don't know what's going to the point where they know that this money is going to pass, but I think about the church.
Right.
When we know that 57% of the people 57% of Americans in this country do not have life insurance. And we realize that life insurance is the number one contributing factor for how wealth is passed from one generation to the next. But 57% of the people, we can look at those numbers this way. We can say if more people had life insurance, they would be in more, and they could have positioned themselves to be in a better position, if you will, to pass on more wealth to their younger generations. So if more people got life insurance, then maybe this $41 trillion to $136 trillion could double if 25% more people actually had life insurance. Now here's, I'm going to get to one that really just deals with tithing. When surveyed, 17% of Americans state that they regularly tithe. Only 17%. You will hear pastors say that 10% of the people financially support 90% of the work that has to be done in ministry.
Yes.
It's, we say this as religious leaders all the time. So that number doesn't seem too far off than what people are saying in the community, in the church house. But here's the thing for me. When you look at numbers like that, I don't think that if your child came home from school and got a 17% on a test, that you would be taking them to Chuck E. Cheese on Saturday. I just don't think you'd do it. I don't believe that if you only received 17% of your paycheck after working for a whole week, I don't think that would be satisfactory. So for 17%, that should be an alarm. That should be a clarion call. that should be a move by pastors to say, hold on, you know, Dr. Dunlap, can we utilize, you know, can you come and do one of these financial ministry needs assessments on tithing with us so we can see where we're at? Because truth be told, when you don't know how much income a person makes in the church, you cannot say that they're giving 10%. The only person that can really say what that they're giving 10% or giving a tithe is the person who's giving it.
Yeah.
Because we, I mean, and I hate to say this, but unless you, you know, go to a church that, you know, gets W-2 forms and income taxes and stuff like that to be able to see what you're doing. But that's not the norm.
No.
That's not the norm.
But it happens.
Mm-hmm. Let me see, what else do we have here? 37% of people who attend church every week and identify themselves as evangelical don't give any money to the church. What? Mm. Oh, my goodness. 37% going every week. Don't give any money. Now, let me just say something out loud. Just because you don't see anybody putting anything in the offering plate doesn't mean that they haven't given, right? They could have mailed their check in. They could have given it at a different time. There's no requirement to put something in the offering plate every time you go to church. There's just no requirement to do that, you know.
And some people get paid once a month.
Yeah, paid once a month, or I may decide, okay, this is what I'm going to give for the month. And I give that for the month. My heart is pure and all that. That's it. It's a done deal. I've done what I purposed in my heart. In total, about 10 million tithers in the United States donate about $50 billion annually to the church and other nonprofit causes. $50 billion. 10 million tithers donate about $50 billion every year to the church. You know, when you hear statistics like this and you say to the church, I'm like, okay, to what church?
Yes.
Whose church are we talking about? You know, that's why I really want more information because, you know, what churches are they giving to? What other nonprofit causes are we dealing with or are they dealing with that have this money? And I really would love for it to be broken down, these 10 million tithers, by how much was given to the church and then how much was given to nonprofit causes.
Yes.
I think that would be a good statistic if their research was to go a little bit further. But there's another one that says 77% of those who tithe, so whatever that number is, whatever that total number is, 77% of those who tithe give 11 to 20% or more of their income, far more than the baseline of 10%. That's an interesting one.
Yes.
But again, it depends on, okay, who were the people that was taking this survey to make up this 77%.
Right.
97% of Christians who tithe make it a top financial priority to give to their local church. That's a good one. 7 out of 10 tithers do so based on their gross income and not their net income. Hmm. This is one of the things that we explore in our second lesson in our tithing course.
Okay.
Should you tithe from your gross? Should you tithe from your net? Mama, what do you say?
Well, I've been taught to tithe out of your gross. Because, say, if I'm making $100 say a month, but I have things taken. Yeah, say if I was just making, say, $200 a month, but I have insurance and other things being taken out, I still, like it says, give, well, the way I've been taught is like give from the first. To the, I had $200, but now the taxes and all that had to be taken out, see. So that's not, that's like giving from my net. So I've been taught all the years to give out of my gross for that purpose.
But so here's my question.
To get the first.
What were you taught, though? I mean,
I was just
you were
told,
but what? How did they teach you that? Was there
okay,
some
they said
foundation?
Well, the way I was taught and have been taught through the years is that God, you know, God gets the 10%. He gets it off the top first. So you give to God first. And if it wasn't for God, you wouldn't be having it. So why not be able to give God 10%? And then you have 90% to do whatever else you need to do with. So why couldn't I, why couldn't we give him his gift to him first? Why not give
okay.
to the one who made a way for you to get, you know, to have the job to be able to, you know, take care of yourself or your bills.
So was that backed up by scripture, or was that just what people have been saying over the years, and because they're in a position of authority,
well,
then that's what we take?
Well, there's scripture because it does talk about the first fruit. It talks about the first fruit. So this is what, those are the scriptures that they use, the first fruit, first fruit. And
mm-hmm.
so they take it from that. They use that scripture. It said, you know, if you have 100 sheep, you give the give 10, and 10 of the best, give your best. So you don't give, you know, back in the day you had to give the, it couldn't be a blemish. You had to give your the tenth of your best, you know, cattle. Or whatever.
You know, I wonder if, I wonder, is first fruits and tithes, are they the same thing?
I don't know. That just, I don't know.
See, those are the questions
that's
that we
that's
explore.
How they, that's how it's been tied up in there. You know, I've not really done any study on it.
Well, and that's why we deal with what we deal with, is because a lot of people responded like you respond. This
yeah.
is what we've been taught. This is what we've been taught. And what we don't say here at PRF is that you've been taught wrong. So I'm not saying that. But what we are doing is we're taking what you've been taught and we are adding on to what you have been taught.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Because, when you think about it, to just be doing something and saying, you know, this is what I've been taught all my life.
Right. But then the fear factor comes in.
Right. So
you know, there's a fear factor in there, too, about, you know, you're robbing God. So it's all twisted up in there.
Yeah, but
so
then you...
You're made to feel
so
guilty. I mean, you know, this is why the Bible says make sure you get understanding. Because after a while, it brings on confusion. I'm just saying, because when you ask me that, and because I've not, you know, studied up on, you know, tithing and the first fruits, and then it makes me start thinking, wow. Never thought about that before, because I've been taught so much about you don't want to rob God.
Mm-hmm.
See, and so it was putting me in a fear. You know, I don't want to rob God. You know, and didn't really understand. Well, you know, robbing God. You know, not understanding until I got on the PRF table and you start explaining, you know, to look at the scripture before then and who's God talking to. You know, when you start explaining that, see, you know, read the chapter before. So it's very good that we are having these discussions so that we don't, you know, be given out of ignorance or given out of fear. And mainly, if you've been in the Word as long as I have, you're giving out, you're really giving out fear because, you know, you just, you know, and then, of course, when they come with the fine brimstone, oh, my gosh, you're down for the count. you are paralyzed then. So.
Well, you know, it's a serious thing. It's serious because, you know, if I hear the word, what I perceive to be the word or from the man or woman of God, and I do that thing, then there is a blessing in that. There's a blessing in that from my obedience of what I believe, of hearing the word.
Okay.
However, there's so much more, especially when we have understanding about why we're doing what we're doing.
Yes, okay, that's good.
Uh-huh. There's so much more when you realize that, okay, let me evaluate, is this being done out of law or is it being done out of love? And when we start thinking about how we're doing it, I think it puts us into a whole different place. And let me say this. I'm not suggesting that, again, that what you've been taught all those years was wrong. It could have been your interpretation of what's been taught. The pastor or the man or woman of God could have said, here's the scripture, and you, not you, mama, specifically, but you listening, you may not remember what it is. So all
but
you have is
the scripture was the one that they've that I have always heard, and I've been in different churches and in different denominations, and that scripture is right there, Malachi 3:10. That is it.
You're right.
That's it.
But
what I've heard. So. It says, don't rob God. So when I do read that and say, oh, my gosh, okay, I don't want to rob God. And when it's been emphasized every single Sunday, you know, it's being planted into your spirit. And you start really just accepting it, you know, because I know that's what I read. See, so it's a lack of, as we were discussing this, there is a lack of understanding on my part because the Bible does tell me to study. You know, it does tell me, you know, to study. You know, I need to learn to study for myself.
It doesn't tell you to do that, Mama. We keep talking about that. That's a pastoral epistle. Pastoral is... Remember Timothy, that was written to Timothy as a pastoral epistle. If everybody was a study to show themselves approved, then why do they need us? And that's where we have God never designed it for everybody to be their own interpreter of the Word of God. Let's look at how the Bible is written and what we have. Everybody didn't get it. Let's look at even from the days of the early church. Who were the ones who received? Who were the ones who taught? You didn't have whole families in the temple.
True.
So there's an order that has been broken. We can, and anybody that's listening, we can have that conversation too. But there's an order that has been broken, and the family structure has been broken over the years. So you have people that have gone and said, you know, I have to learn something. I have to learn on my own because I don't have a father in the household to lead us. I don't have a husband in the household to lead us. I'm a single mother. So what else do you do? But because our family structure, and this is my opinion, because our family structure is so broken throughout America and in the church, people have decided they need to find out stuff for themselves. And it ain't like I blame them. I don't blame them. What I'm saying is the order still was broken. It doesn't mean that the order has changed. It means it just was broken. So maybe we should be trying to get back to an order of God of how things are supposed to be versus how we've allowed them to be and gone and done what we had to do for the absence of certain things being within our bodies. Talking about our Christian bodies, like the church, within our households. Paul didn't write that and said to tell everybody to sell themselves or seldom approve. He told Timothy to show himself approved.
Okay.
So it goes back to not saying that you don't listen to the man or woman of God. You have to be able to ask questions when you don't understand. And if you don't get an opportunity to ask questions, then people start looking for answers in other places. That's why Sunday school is so important, or church school, whatever you want to call it. That's why Bible study on Wednesdays or Tuesdays or Saturdays, whenever you have it, is so important. If you're going to treat it as school. If it's a worship service, don't call it Bible study. Call it a worship service and keep it moving. But we have to get back to, I don't say get back to, no. There has to be a time where somebody says, okay, we need to learn some things. Because we're ignorant to a lot of things. And here's the downfall to this whole thing. If you've been in the church 50 years, and some of the simple questions regarding the Bible, some of the simple questions regarding some of the things that you and I do as Christians can't be answered, then why is somebody new to this going to keep coming back to you when you can't answer a simple question? But yet you're telling me this is what we're supposed to do. See, we're in an age that just telling folks what to do just doesn't get it anymore.
That's true.
It's not a thing of rebellion. It's because of how our community, how our society is set up now, where everybody has access to everything. So if you're being read to out of the King James Version, and you don't understand what the heck those thou's with his thee meant, then you have the ability to go to a New Living Translation, right? Or NIV.
Yeah.
Say, oh, now I understand what Pastor meant when he said that. Now I understand what the scripture meant because I have a different translation. Of course, you got to be careful with the different translations, of course. So I gave you two that are good, NIV and New Living, right?
Right, uh-huh.
But we have to get to a place where, and this is just within the church, has to get to a place where, wherever it's not, that some of the basic things that we should know have to be taught. Because if they're not taught, a lot of what you're doing is just what you've been told. And there's a difference between being taught something and being told something.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Even when you look at the commands of God in the Old Testament, he told the people through Moses or through Aaron or through Joshua, he told them what to tell the people. But it wasn't that he just told them. It was a teaching moment because a lot of times they received it more than once. And then we have Jesus Christ who comes along. And what is he? Rabbi. Teacher. So we have Christ that teaches, taught in the temple at 12 years old, taught in his adult life, walked around constantly teaching people. So this whole thing is about a model of discipleship. See, I can tell you where the scripture for tithing is, where the people heard that scripture. I can tell you that. That doesn't mean you're going to believe it. That doesn't mean you understand the why behind it. That doesn't mean that you have enough information that it pricks your heart. Oh, this is what I should be doing. Oh, this is why I'm supposed to be doing this. Oh, I don't have to, but I have an opportunity to. It's a whole different story versus being told versus being taught.
Yeah.
And I'm excited again about tomorrow because I'm not going to tell them. I'm going to teach them. But we're also going to learn from each other. Because think about these statistics. Those are what's in the mindsets of people. There's a reason why 7 out of 10 tithers give tithes from their gross income versus their net income. There's a reason behind that. Just like there's a reason why the 3 out of 10 do it from their net. But if there's never an exploration of the why behind it, then you can't get mad when you don't get 100%, 10 out of 10, when it stays at 7, or when one of the 7 dies, now you're down to 6. 2 more happen to leave the church, now you're down to 4. 1 more decides to go into the take a job out of state, finds another home, now you're down to 3. Then what happens is it goes back to the same thing that we said at the beginning. That's a question that many churches are asking as they started running into financial issues over the years. So my clarion call, my plea to those who are listening, leaders and quote-unquote non-leaders, is let's not wait until your church is in financial trouble and then come and say, you know what, we need to teach the people. Because if you're looking for the immediate relief, it ain't going to come that fast. God can make it come that fast, but I'm just here to tell you, stuff like this don't work that fast. How many times have you wanted to have a change of heart, but it took a little while?
Right. Mm-hmm. It's true.
It took a little while.
Yes, it did.
Another number, Mama. 35% of those who do tithe have a net worth or will bequeath that is valued at more than $500,000. What?
I'll repeat that, please.
35% of those who tithe have a net worth or a will bequeath that is valued at more than $500,000. So that means you have 35% of the people who have more than $500,000 as a net worth or that's in their will that's going to be given out to somebody.
Wow.
Okay. Out of the top 10 places where tithers put their money, the least likely demographic that they would give money is children and orphans. The least likely, children and orphans. I believe the word of God says true religion is taking care of the widows and the orphans.
And the foreigners, yes.
Widows and orphans.
Mm.
So you just take, I mean, this is just throwing out statistics just for people to hear. That there may be a lot of people that are out there listening, Mama, who fit into these various demographics, even though they may not have been a part of this study.
Yes.
And if any leaders are listening and say, you know what, 7 out of 10, that ain't good, right? 7 out of 10 people tithe, that ain't good, based on their gross and not their net. Only 3 to 5%. Give to the church through regular tithe. That's not a high enough number. If you think that the numbers are kind of low and there's room for improvement, then you have to put something before the people that's going to help them to improve. And if you think that just giving them the beat down scripture on Sunday morning, Mama, is going to do it, I'm telling you it's not, because they're already hearing it and it's not moving them.
That's true. That's true.
is not moving them. So something has to be put in place before the people that has them asking that question, brothers, what shall we do? Acts chapter 2, right? Brothers, what shall we do?
Mm-hmm.
Now we can move on to something else and start having a different type of conversation regarding this topic. Another thing I heard, Mama?
Yes,
I heard pastors say this. I heard pastors say, we are trying to have 100% tithers in the church.
Yes, yes, yes. I've heard it too.
I don't know what that means. Can you help me out? Because I don't know what that means. I think I have an idea what they meaning, but I don't understand what that really means. That means every single person in the church?
Yes, yes. From my experience, that's what I've heard, that everybody needs to give. And you're not giving. And, of course, you know the scripture comes in there. And then that's reasons why, you're not moving that things are happening. You're not successful in certain areas because, you're not giving. You know, you're supposed to give that 10%, and you are rebellious. You're refusing to give. And that's why we can't get anything done in the church. Because the tithes are supposed to take care of the church.
What? Oh, my goodness. That's what they say, huh? That's what they say?
Yeah,
that's
what they say.
That's
what they say. So,
just wonder, when I hear statements like that, I'm not saying that's wrong, but
mm-hmm.
Here's what I'm thinking about. Let's think about one of the two foundational scriptures for PRF, Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to 47, right?
Yeah.
So if tithes are supposed to take care of the church, the things of the church, I'm assuming we're talking about, building, salaries, water, gas, all that kind of stuff. If that's what tithes are used for, when I look at Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to 47, it don't talk nothing about tithing.
No, it doesn't.
Matter of fact, when you start off at 42, it says all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. So the first thing that they were devoted to was teaching.
Yes, yes.
Okay, so teaching and to fellowship. So it's not about me just coming in hearing what I'm saying. We're fellowshipping as well, which is why we're going to have food tomorrow night. And to sharing meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. So it wasn't just about one thing. It was about multiple things.
Yes.
The deep sense of awe came over them all. Not some of them. All of them. And the apostles performed miracles, many miracles, and signs and wonders. So you're able to see that when the teaching is involved in fellowship and the Lord's Supper and prayer, after that was going on was when the deep sense of awe came over them and the miracles and signs and wonders were there. Sometimes you got things have to be prepared in an order that God has already ordained.
Right.
So the believers, they met in one place and they shared everything that they had. They sold their property and possessions, and they shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in these homes, in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. So when we see that there's a whole bunch of people that are not able to enjoy goodwill, they're not living life abundantly, not living life more abundantly, then the believer should be saying, hold on, something is off right now because there's too many folks struggling. But see, when you ask that question, you can't look at the other person. The first people you need to look at and say, okay, what are we doing as the body? Are we coming together? Are we engaged in the teaching and the fellowship? Are there signs and wonders being done? What else is going on that puts me into a place where I'm willing to, especially willing to give?
Yes.
And then at the end of it, it says this, and each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. The first thing wasn't salvation. Each day they were being saved, they people were being saved because of what they saw happening with believers.
Yes. That's good.
I mean, yeah. You can go to Acts chapter 5. I mean, you can see the same thing. Chapter 4.
Yes.
So this is just a little taste of where we're going to be at. And I dare not even try to read those, the tithing scriptures, but Mama, you brought out one, which was Malachi chapter 3. You mentioned verse 10. We can go to verses 8 through 10. Or go start really at verse 6, but, you know, should a man rob God? If you want to start at verse 8. How have you robbed me?
That's the part, yeah, that I learned, you know, when I first got saved, you know, I was just, you know, I didn't know, I never read the Bible in my life, and that was one of the first things I, you know, was being taught. I would, you know, that's part of it, you know, and you just don't want to get out of God's will, and you don't want his wrath to come upon you, you know. Now, for me, it being not having any understanding of the things of the kingdom, coming into the kingdom, I mean, it was just like, that's the one thing, you know, if I don't do anything else, I'm definitely going to do that. That's, you know, that was it. That was it for me.
Right.
Because, you know, I just didn't, you know, and when you were young, when you don't have an understanding, especially when you've never read the Bible in your life, and you don't, of course, you're not going to know kingdom things. And then you do give your life to the Lord. Now you're going, now you're being taught these things, and you just sit there, you know, and everybody else is saying, yes, amen, thank you. Yeah. Then you're just saying, oh, Lord, I better get on this bandwagon here. Because I don't want to be in that number. You know, I don't want God's wrath on me, you know. And so, you know, the enemy can play with your mind because you don't have any understanding. So, you know, you're just in your own thoughts. And then that spirit of fear comes upon you.
Yeah, right. But at the same time, you can't. That can't be put on who's standing up there in the pulpit.
No, I'm saying this is how you proceed. This, I mean, yes, it's me because this is how I'm feeling. This is how I'm feeling about it. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he's teaching it, but this is how I am receiving it because that's all I know. I don't know anything else but what he's saying to me. And it seemed like everybody else was agreeing. And as me being a new convert, I didn't have any knowledge of anything else.
Yeah, but after 10
and
years,
really,
you
I didn't even
no
understand tithing.
Right.
To be, Mama,
but but after 10 years, you ain't new no more.
I mean, but
you
then
ain't a new
later
convert.
On, that was different. But in the beginning, that's where I was, I'm saying.
I got you. I'm not talking
and, but,
about
but
you
but it made such an impression
I'm talking
on
about
me.
In, go ahead.
Oh, I'm going to say, you know, it made such an impression on me when I first heard it for the first time in my life. See, it made that impression on me, you know. And
right.
I just received it as was given. But as time went on, yes, I got some more understanding and, you know. But,
I don't know about that statement, Ma. I don't know about that statement.
As I listen to you, I mean, as I listen to the show here and getting this knowledge, I'm still confused. So I do need that course. I definitely need it, yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, we are definitely not in the business of confusing people. The Spirit of God is liberal to make sure that it teaches what we need, when we need it, and it's just a matter of what we're going to receive. And are we going to be pulling, are we willing to pull back the onion? Because you can get stuck talking about what happened 10, 15, 20, 45 years ago, and you can keep going back to that all day long. Okay, but at some point, each individual has to take some personal responsibility and not say that I was brainwashed and not put it on the other person, especially when you constantly hear, and the mindset of so many believers is, I got to study to show myself approved. Okay, but you just ain't studied that one. You ain't studied about tithing. You studied everything else, but you just missed the tithing studying part,
because
right?
Because you believe what you read, and that's what the scripture is saying, you know.
But
and
listen,
that's what's been emphasized a lot at that time. I'm talking about that time, you know. So
I got you. That's the right, but you can't still be confused today talking about, again, what happened 30 and 40 and 50 and 60 years ago, right? You add on to what you have been taught.
Okay.
You add on to it and you allow God to do it. But if you stay stuck, this is what I tell anybody, I tell them in a session. If you stay stuck based upon what somebody, quote unquote, taught you, but you can't even go back and think about a scripture, or you can't even go back and ask, or you won't even go back and ask. I've been hearing you talk about this tithing being cursed. What scripture is that? If you don't do your part, you can't blame nobody else. And I'm not talking to you, Mama. I'm saying it in general to everybody that's listening. You can't. People have to stop blaming other folks for what they fail to do. Again, if you have the ability, I mean, let's be real. It's not hard to go and open up the back or the front of your Bible and look up the word tithe, and you can easily see that it has more than one scripture. And Malachi 3 is not the only scripture that references about tithing. It's just not. So, I mean, there's some personal responsibility, and when people get to that point where they say, okay, it ain't all been on me, you know? It's not all on the other person. It's okay. This is where I was at. This is what I was taught. This is what the Spirit is saying. This is what I understand now. And you add to that, and you continue to move forward. But I encourage everybody, no, we're not going to be the ones that's going to allow you to stay stuck back in the past talking about forever. I mean, you got to talk about it to get down to the root cause. But some of the root cause is not what you were told. It's what you heard. Is what you chose to do. And again, not talking about you know, Mary Ann, we're talking about this from an in general perspective, because a lot of people, you know, again, we've heard it. We've had plenty of shows and I've told them tithing plenty of times. You have people that really believe because of what I was taught. Okay, well, tell me how you were taught. What were you taught? Well, now you're telling me what you were told. That's a whole different story. And I'm not saying that you should not run with something that you were told. But if you find out that what you were told is not bringing the results, I mean, and I'm going to say this, and we're going to go ahead and because it's almost 9 o'clock, so we're going to go ahead and get ready for tomorrow. But if you're going to listen to Malachi 3, right, here's what I want people just to do is to think about this. What you always hear is, go into verse 10, right? What have we always taught here on the PRF table? Context is important. So unless you're starting off the chapter, it may be worth going to the first verse or going to some previous verses. And it may be worth going to some verses after the one that you're at. So if we're going to use Malachi 3:10, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, so there'll be enough food in my temple. If you do, the Lord Heaven's army says, I will open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to receive it. Try me and put me to the test. Now, if you decide to go there, especially when you're sitting in church and you have the ability to read the scripture as it's being read to you, and you don't even go down to the 11th verse where it says, your crops will be abundant. Oh, so if you do this, you put me to the test, and here's the result of what you're doing. When God says, I will do something, that's a definite. Right? When he says, yes. I will, or you shall, those are definite statements, definitive statements. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it all in. Try me to the test, right? Your crops, verse 11, will be abundant, or I will guard them from insects and disease. So whatever you are, whatever your crop is, he's going to guard from things destroying your crops.
Yes.
Your grapes will not fall from the vine before they're ripe, so it's going to be in the right timing, says the Lord of Heaven's armies. Then all nations will call you blessed, for your land will be such a delight. Now, you have to understand, we're talking about the nation of Israel, right? We ain't talking about Rome. We ain't talking about the church at Corinth. We're talking about the nation. All of God's people fell under the nation of Israel, right? His chosen people. We also know that when they got into the promised land, that nation was divided into 12 tribes. I mean, they were already divided, but the 12 tribes all had different parts of the land of Canaan. So we go into the quote-unquote the New Testament, and we realize that in Acts, that was not one church. That was a universal church. If there was no universal church that you've ever heard about, you can know that that one in Acts chapter 2 was a universal church.
Mm-hmm.
Because people from all over were there.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But then we have the church at Corinth, and so we got the churches in Corinth. We got the churches of Ephesus. We got churches in Galatia, right? We got all these individual churches. So you have to say that those individual churches should be falling under the same word that God said in Malachi.
Right.
So bring it to the storehouse. So if we're going to use this in church, so you bring it to the storehouse so there'll be enough food in my temple. If you do, I'll pour out a window of blessing. You won't have enough room. Crops will be abundant. I will guard them from insects and disease. Grapes will not fall far from the vine before they ripe. So stuff ain't going to happen before you're able to benefit. And then all the nations will call you blessed, or your land will be such a delight. So now the question I ask is, how blessed is your church? You who tithe. Mama, that's it. We're going to go ahead and leave people to marinate on that one for, I guess, a little while until we come back on next week. So you can join us on Facebook, facebook.com/PRF. PRF is Possessions, Resources, and Finances. You can also go to our website. Go to our website. It is prfministry.org. That's prfministry.org. You can also reach us by email, admin@prfministry.org, or by phone, 267-437-7999. So with that, Mama, we're out of here for tonight.
Yes.
Talk to you soon. God bless you all, and have a wonderful day. Peace.